This is Rated R, Real Estate Uncensored, hosted by Derek Anthony, right here in the great state of Texas. What's up, y'all? Bringing the best folks in the biz with some great energy, knowledge, and special guests, and maybe, yes, maybe, even a few surprises. Featuring Derek's Dimes, Mia's Street Beats, My Favorite Things, and many more unscripted segments for your pleasure. This program is affiliated with the Woodmont Company, a national commercial real estate company based in downtown Fort Worth, covering the entire United States for all your commercial real estate needs, from brokerage, development, and property management, including tenant rep, leasing, buy and sell, and all types of asset classes, retail, restaurant, food and beverage, office, medical, flex, and industrial. Be sure to check them out at woodmont.com for all the latest listings and information about the Woodmont Company. Be sure to subscribe to our show and check out our site, thepodcaststudio.net. Welcome in, y'all. Now let's do this. Here's your host, Derek Anthony.
Oh yeah, what's up, y'all? Welcome to Rated R, Real Estate Uncensored, here in Cowtown, downtown Fort Worth. Mia's got her baby blues on today. What's going on?
Not much, Derek. Just ready for the weekend. It was been a long week.
Indeed. Yeah, this March was really busy. We've been fortunate. We have some wonderful guests here for us and with us today via phone and Zoom. And it's a it's an operation that for folks that don't live on the West Coast, I'm really excited to learn more. They are West Coast based. They were founded in 1971 and they have over 200 locations. And they're rolling out a new store format, which we'll get to, a 3.0 version. They claim that they are going to, basically their claim to fame is one of the tallest sandwiches made. And I'd be anxious to learn more about that. We have John Dyer and Letha Tran on the phone. Hello, folks.
Hello, Derek.
Hello.
All right. So Letha's on the phone and John's on Zoom. So we'll kind of direct that to each of you as so we don't crosstalk on each other. So Togo's Eatery is the name, and it's an American chain, fast casual sandwich restaurants. And they're based out of San Jose, California. And I guess from there, Letha, why don't you start us off on kind of how you became involved with the company? And I also understand that you may have four stores in the works and one more on the way. Is that right?
Yeah. So I grew up with the brand. I've been eating Togo since I was a kid, and I've been a loyal fan ever since. When I was in college, I actually wanted to buy my very first Togo's, but I asked my mother to buy for me because I didn't have any money. So she said no, and I had to go to college. I started working in corporate HR for a while, and in 2014, I saw an opportunity for a Togo's was for sale. So I quit my job and cashed out all my savings and bought my very first store. Since then, I opened up five locations and now I'm working on the sixth. Wow. And that's the opportunity that John showed me. I've been growing with Togo's and I'm very optimistic where the brand is heading. And I see that the guests are loyal, and I work in the stores every day, and I see the popularity, and I continue to want to grow.
Right. Do you sleep at night?
Yes, I do sleep at night. I don't. My job is actually pretty flexible because I have good people that run all my stores now. So
yeah, that's key. For
my
sure.
My very first store was a struggle, but now it's not too bad.
So in your role of obviously an owner of the five locations, is there a corporate kind of hat that you wear as well within the franchisor side?
No, I don't have a corporate hat. Our franchisors are very supportive in everything that we do, especially during COVID. COVID was quite very unpredictable. They helped us with so much. during telling us what needs to be done as far as all the policies that we need to put in place to keep our stores safe. They helped us out with getting loans and updating all our IT with curbside pickup, mobile ordering, and we were very fast to adapt with the changing environment.
Yeah. So John's on the phone, and John, kind of explain kind of your short bio and then how you became part of this wonderful concept.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been in the franchising industry for over 20 years. I kind of caught the bug at an early age. I worked at a franchise pizza place in Northern California, and kind of, you know, really appreciated the role of the franchisee and, you know, being able to be his own boss and kind of a local entrepreneur. And, you know, basically grew up within his organization. He operated 6 restaurants. And prior to leaving his organization, I managed or oversaw 3 of them. I left his organization after 10 years of multi-unit management to join a franchisor, Roundtable Pizza, where I was a franchise business consultant, working directly with franchisees, supporting them in operations and all aspects of running their business efficiently. Kind of caught the bug. I always took a particular interest in franchisees that were developing new restaurants. I enjoyed supporting them, finding sites, you know, the build out process, working with contractors, and then getting them up and running. And so that kind of transitioned to my role as director of franchise development and real estate for Roundtable. And I was there for about 20 years, and then joined Global Franchise Group, which is an organization that operates multiple franchise concepts. I was with them for about a year when they acquired Roundtable Pizza, supporting primarily Marble Slab Creamery, Great American Cookies, some mall concepts, Pretzel Maker, as well as Roundtable Pizza, because again, they acquired the organization. So I was with them for about a year, and then I got a call from Glenn Lundy, Togo's CEO. He and I worked together at Roundtable Pizza for many years before he left the organization, and he was over at Togo's and was telling me about all of the great things going on and the revitalization of the brand. And I had always been a fan of the product. You know, I love our number 9 pastrami sandwich, which I think Togo's has sold over 100 million since 1971. However hard I try to break away from the pastrami, I can't seem to break.
Well, you seem kind of fit. I mean, you don't look overweight, so you're hiding it well. So that's good. I read also, I don't know if this is still true. Are you all still associated with Baskin Robbins? And if so, how does that work?
Yeah. So we used to be owned by the same company that owned Baskin Robbins and Dunkin' Donuts. It was a company called Allied Domecq. And back several years ago, the brands were, Togo's was separated away from the brand, or from the other two brands, and went out on its own. So now we're privately held, and Togo's and Baskin, I'm sorry, Baskin and Dunkin, you know, became part of a new brand that was, our new company that was developed called Dunkin' Brands, and they were recently acquired by Inspire. So
yeah,
we have still about 38, I believe, co-brand locations with Baskin Robbins in operation in the state of California. That relationship has worked out very well. However, we're no longer developing together because we're owned by two different franchisors.
So if there are landlords or landlord reps listening, tell me a little bit about kind of how you guys seek out new operators. And once you have them signed up, obviously there's a training process and an onboarding process, but more specifically kind of maybe some cities that you're targeting either now or within the next 6 months. And I know Texas was part of that in the map that I saw online, but more sure. importantly, you know, some of your site criteria, maybe size and commitment and so forth.
Yeah, definitely. So a little bit about, you know, the franchisee profile. We're looking for folks that have some business experience, preferably restaurant related, but not necessarily, doesn't necessarily have to be restaurant related. Any sort of management or retail management experience would be helpful. We're looking for folks that want to be actively engaged in the day-to-day operations of their businesses, because we found that it's critical that we have franchisees that are actively engaged in what's going on in their restaurants. We haven't had a lot of success with absentee operators. Really, the key is having folks that want to be involved in the business, want to interact with their customers and employees, and really kind of build the business in the communities that they're located in. So Togo's is really the heartland for us, is really the San Francisco Bay Area, Sacramento, and the Central Valley from Sacramento down into Fresno. Mm-hmm. We do have a fairly strong presence in Los Angeles as well. And we have a handful of stores in Arizona, Oregon, and Washington. We're primarily interested in infilling, within existing markets, like the Bay Area, Sacramento, Central Valley. There's obviously a lot of growth going on there. And then just as of late, with all of the changes related to COVID and so many people working from home, and choosing to take their tech salaries out of California and relocate to nearby states like Utah and Idaho and obviously Texas, where you guys are located, we're finding that we have a tremendous amount of recognition in those markets because of those folks that grew up in California and had exposure to the brand and hopefully have fond memories. So we're looking to grow, in other Western states that we're not currently present in.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think me and I do a lot of transactions, and we're in the business, and we call landlords all the time, and even operators. So many are from California. It's crazy. I know big picture, 1,000 people a day are moving to Texas. And I think the last article I read was about 25% of those are actually coming from California.
Yeah, it seems like every time I turn around, you know, I have a friend that's relocating to Texas or Idaho or Utah. Folks, especially now with all of the changes and the telecommuting becoming so much more prevalent, folks are taking their big salaries, and if they have to,
right,
take a couple of Southwest flights back to California to meet with their team in San Jose or San Francisco or LA. You know, it's well worth it,
makes sense.
Because of the savings in their housing.
The other, as far as site requirements, talk to me a little about your footprint, how big, end caps, inline, drive-through, et cetera.
Yeah. So, one of the things that we're doing, as of late is trying to reduce the footprint. You know, historically, probably average size Togo's was closer to 1600 square feet. We're really, 1200 is kind of the sweet spot for us now. Anywhere between 1000 and 1600, we will entertain, but 1200 square feet is really the sweet spot. We're finding with the way that our business is changing, and so much of it is going the way of third party delivery via, Uber Eats and
right.
Grubhub. And DoorDash, we don't need the square footage. We're typically looking for grocery or big box anchored centers,
mm-hmm.
Looking for a good balance of daytime and evening population. One of the things that kind of caught us during COVID is our locations that were more local office trade driven are the ones that are continuing to struggle. Because those offices are still, vacant, or folks are just working from the office a couple of days a week, and the rest of the week they're working from home. So, you know, we're trying to find locations that have a good balance,
right,
of both, you know, lunch trade and dinner trade.
Okay, Letha, give me some operator challenges. I know, obviously, with COVID and especially with the state of California being shut down, I'm assuming you all obviously counted on each other and so hopefully supported each other and hopefully everybody still in business. Talk to me a little bit about some of the things that maybe creatively that you did with obviously the pandemic, and from delivery to possibly obviously the PPP package, and how either you as an operator, your bank, and or the franchise or corporate were hopefully working together.
Sure. First of all, the PPP loan were a lifesaver. Mm-hmm. it kept, we were able to keep our employees on board. We were able to pay their rent. Our franchisor helped us talk to landlords and get rent deferrals, which was very important as well. Things that we did to that we had to change is, of course, we had no dine and everything was takeout. So our third party delivery increased by, I don't know the percentage, but it was by a couple 100% at least.
Yeah, one of the things before we get into the other details, just kind of talk to me a little bit about, you know, one of the things that we deal with is a lot of food and beverage, and everybody wanted to be online. They wanted to work their POS and the back line and the back end services and delivery. And it was kind of an afterthought, or I guess maybe something in the future they were trying to get to, but it seemed COVID hit, and instead of a 3-year push, now they had to either do it or die basically in 3 months to get live. Were you all already kind of on the platforms, and to kind of talk to me how maybe you sped up that process?
Yes, we were already on the platform,
right.
But what Togo did for us was they integrated it into our POS system. So there was like no delay. Like everything just was just like a regular customer coming through. You couldn't tell, was it a dispatch or was it a regular customer, because it was all integrated into one system. What Togo's also did was they integrated curbside, which we didn't have before, which worked really well for us. So the customers will come up, then we will know what car they have. We just bring it right out to them, and it was seamless. And just that our grab and go concept is, give their name and take their order. So, customers felt very safe coming into our stores.
Yeah, that's awesome. In terms of a franchise radius, I guess this is a question for John. Do you all have a minimum? Is it 3 miles, or how's that work?
As far as the radius which we will deliver to?
No, as far as another operator coming into that same town.
Oh, typically, you know, there are no territory protections that exist within our franchise agreement. But as a general rule, we typically try to keep 2.5 to 3 mile miles of distance or radius around existing locations, mm-hmm, to prevent cannibalization.
Right.
We all know what happened with Subway, and we're taking advantage of a lot of the store closures as they kind of thin out the number of locations that they have within their organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually presented some great opportunities for us to take some second generation real estate from Subway or other competitors and convert that over to the Togo's concept.
Yeah. Letha, one of the things I also read was the catering business is pretty decent for you guys. And given COVID and the office folks not there, I'm assuming that was a major hit. One, was it? And two, do you see that coming back as strong as it was before?
Oh, well, I don't think it's going to come back as strong as it is before. But during COVID, people started, you know, working from home. So all of our DoorDashes, third-party delivery, people started ordering from those,
mm-hmm,
instead. Some of my stores, actually, we didn't have much of a decrease, believe it or not. two of my stores actually increased in sales due to delivery. Another store decreased just a little bit because it was more in a business area, court across the street from the courthouse, and that took quite a hit. But I see it coming back pretty strong now already, so that's good. As far as corporate meetings, I don't see it coming back anytime soon. maybe in the future, but right now our sales are looking strong still. So I'm hoping that people got used to us during the pandemic and they continue on.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about, I guess, John may know more about this, but again, both of you can chime in, is the new 3.0 version store layout and how is that rollout going to work in terms of just a slow roll, or is it franchise specific?
Yeah. So we've been busy converting stores over since 2019. We have about 15 stores that have been completely converted over to the Togo's 3.0 model. We'll probably continue to do 10 to 15 a year. But basically, a little bit about Togo's 3.0 is obviously, you know, we're a brand that's been around since 1971. And, you know, there's a need to kind of, you know, continue to stay relevant and invest in the business. And the way that consumers want to receive our product obviously has kind of changed, you know, and it has gotten way more focused on technology. So historically, the way a Togo's restaurant worked is there was one-on-one service. There was one, you know, one sandwich maker, one customer at a time. And, you know, obviously a lot of our competitors are set up in more of an online format. And we realized that, you know, the one-on-one format was going to be difficult to sustain in the long run, you know, due to, you know, increased labor costs. And then what we were finding was that with a lot more of the business coming in off premise, we needed to really kind of find a way that we could integrate those off-premise orders coming in through third-party delivery right into the line. We also wanted the ability to implement self-ordering kiosks in the restaurants. I think we're one of the first sandwich concepts to implement the self-ordering kiosk, and that's a big part of the Togo's 3.0 format. So essentially, you know, customers can order, you know, through the app. You know, they can call us. They can come into the store and place their order on a self-ordering kiosk, or they can interact directly with the cashier and place their order.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Running everything seamlessly through one assembly line, which has certainly made things a lot more efficient, reduced labor costs, reduced food costs. And positioned us to really be able to grow and remain relevant and serve customers more efficiently going forward.
Is there any, you know, the buzzword today in the food and beverage businesses, ghost kitchens, and are they worth it? And there's a lot of people putting a lot of money into them, and especially here in Texas and throughout the country, of course. But
sure.
I guess what's your position on ghost kitchen? Are you looking at it? Is it worth it to have maybe all your to-go orders going through that kitchen in the back end of maybe 3 or 4 miles from your brick and mortar store? Or it sounds like you're already integrating it anyway.
Yeah, no, we, you know, obviously we, you know, we're on all the platforms. And so we do, you know, customers can get our product through all of the third party delivery apps. They can also order from us directly through Togo's online ordering app. I think ghost kitchens are a great idea. We've definitely taken a close look at it. We have one location in the city of San Francisco, which, you know, obviously from one location in San Francisco, kind of on the outskirts too, mm-hmm. not necessarily in the core of the city. So it's difficult for us to get product out, particularly into the financial district of San Francisco when, you know, pre-COVID, when there was, you know, a need to do that. You know, so we were looking at that prior to COVID. and probably will take a stronger look at that, you know, as we come out as a great growth opportunity for us.
That's awesome. Mia, what do you think of this concept? Are we hungry yet?
Oh, I'm absolutely hungry. Sandwiches are my favorite food, so I need y'all to come to DFW.
So on a typical sandwich, because we don't obviously live in California, tell me the tallest sandwich in the world. What does that mean? Is that like 8 or 9 inches?
Well, you know, I don't know as far as inches, but, you know, we're known for, you know, big, fresh and meaty sandwiches. You know, from Togo's, you can expect a lot more protein than our competitors. You're not going to get, you know, one of our previous ads talked about, you know, we're not a bread witch, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of our competitors, I think, sell bread, you know, a bread
right.
witch. And our sandwiches are big, fresh, and meaty. So you're going to get a lot of protein. Obviously, the pastrami is the number one seller. Like I said, over 100 million pastrami sandwiches sold since the brand opened in 1971. So that's our number one seller. We also were the first sandwich chain to offer avocado. On sandwiches. So we are hand mashing avocados on a daily basis, along with the, you know, the slicing of the meats fresh daily in each of the restaurants. So the turkey avocado is our number two seller behind the pastrami.
Mm-hmm.
The product is phenomenal.
Can't wait. Road trip.
Fresh bread delivered daily from local bakeries out to all of our stores. Mm. I think our bread is another strong suit of the brand, soft, and it's just a phenomenal product. Like I said, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in the brand.
For sure.
That's for sure.
Well, that's John Dyer from Togo's. Check them out if you're interested in buying and investing your time and energy and money and a great business model. Check out Togo's website or LinkedIn, John Dyer. That's D-Y-E-R. And Letha, you still with us? Are you still alive?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Well, we're going to kind of wrap up the show, but we have a fun thing that we like to do with guests. It's called My Favorite Things. There's no wrong answer. And we just like to know your personality, because leaders in every industry always has these quirky things we like to find out about them. So because of the kind of the delay right here, we'll just let Letha go first and then we'll move to John. So your favorite property, anywhere you've been or might want to go to or visited, your favorite property. It could be a mountain region. It could be a hotel. It could be a waterway. What would that be?
My favorite property. Lake Tahoe is a favorite place to go to. I love the snow.
Yes. Your favorite concept, and it can't be Togo's. So either food and beverage or some other usage or business that you're like, oh, I should have thought of that.
My favorite concept. My favorite concept that I should have thought of was the Snuggie blanket.
Oh, yes.
So convenient.
I love that answer for sure. You're like, oh, why? That seems weird, but okay, that's good. Yeah, my daughter has one or two of those for sure. Your favorite city to visit or hang out or just wish you could go, or maybe you've been before?
My favorite city, San Francisco.
There you go. How about your favorite restaurant? And it can't be Togo's.
My favorite restaurant can't be Togo's. Just a local restaurant down the street called Black Sheep.
Okay. And your favorite drink?
A old fashioned.
All right. Your favorite person? It could be somebody you know. They could be dead or alive. It could be a celebrity. Could be a family member.
My favorite person has to be my husband.
Oh, the safe answer. Your favorite musical artist, solo or band?
Taylor Swift.
All right, a Swiftie online here. Sweet. Well, maybe that's your favorite celebrity. That's the next question. Who is your favorite celebrity?
Oprah.
Oh, that's a good choice.
That interview with the Royals was amazing. I think they got the whole thing. I think they got like 16 million views or something and counting. Your favorite food, not including Togo's, of course.
My favorite food.
Like a type of food.
Togo's, which I eat every day. Let me see. What is my favorite food? I don't know. I eat everything, but I would say I love a nice bowl of pho. I'm Vietnamese, so.
Okay.
That's my favorite.
There you go.
And the last one is automobile. If you had your wish of you could drive an automobile of any kind, what would that be?
I've always wanted a truck and never owned one, so maybe one day I will.
Move to Texas.
Yeah,
there's plenty here.
Down here.
Well, that wraps up Letha's favorite things. How about you, John? We're going to start from the beginning. Your favorite property.
Probably the JW Marriott on the coast of Oahu in Hawaii.
Yes, I've been there. It's beautiful.
Favorite vacation spot.
Your favorite concept.
You know, other than Togo's, you know, I'm a huge fan of Chipotle.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. That's awesome. Your favorite city.
Probably Barcelona, Spain. I spent some time there just prior to the pandemic. Beautiful place.
Nice. And restaurant.
I have a favorite Mexican restaurant here in San Diego called Ponce's.
Do they have Tex-Mex? Is it called Tex-Mex in California?
I think that's just here.
Oh.
Yes, it's just a Texas thing.
It's Tex-Mex.
We have the real, Mexican. Well, the 15 further, minutes from the border.
The further south you go in Texas, it gets real, like in San Antonio where I'm from.
Okay.
So.
Sure.
If John was going to get his drink on, what would he drink?
I'm a big Moscow Mule drinker.
All right. You can't go wrong with that. Your favorite person?
I'm not married, but I'm a mama's boy. Probably my mother.
All right. That's nice. your favorite musical artist, solo or band?
You're going to appreciate, you might appreciate this being from Texas, but I'm a big country music fan. I actually really like George Strait.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that.
That guy doesn't age. My wife still thinks he's smoking hot, so whatever. He's like 80 years old.
I love me some George Strait.
Your favorite food?
Probably pizza. I'm a big pizza connoisseur.
That's the comfort of all comfort foods right there. Absolutely. Yeah. And your favorite automobile?
I'm a BMW guy. I'm on my third BMW. I don't see myself breaking away. I love their cars.
Nice. Well, this is Rated R Real Estate Uncensored. Thanks to John and Letha for joining us. And please feel free to check out the website, thepodcaststudio.net. Make sure you check out Togo's. And it's not pronounced Togo's. It's called the Togo's. And check them out on site and also on LinkedIn. But to both of you, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we'll see y'all later. Mia, that was fun.
Yes.
We had a little technology delay with one on the phone and one in Zoom, but it worked. And you could just tell Letha's got a lot of energy about her.
Absolutely. You have to when you own five, almost six stores.
And one of the things that really struck me is we always say this, it's all about the operator. And if that operator is not engaged, it is not going to succeed. And I like the way he worded actively engaged operator. So for y'all, thanks for so much for tuning in. This is Derek Anthony and Rated R Real Estate Uncensored.